when I was growing up, Roswell Pits was a bit of a scenic route on the way to school. I used to walk along a common and walk through the grass and look at the flowers on my way to and from school, and at the weekends play around, on the fairly steep slopes and forested areas of Roswell Pits. Did a bit of sailing at school actually, so I've seen the pits from all angles. It wasn't really until I left school that I started appreciating the beauty of it and the diversity of it. And as I got more into bird watching, I discovered that Roswell Pits was a great little local patch that actually, there's a lot of good things there that you might not see elsewhere. There are common things and rare things and scarce things, and the more you go, the more you discover, and there's always little surprises. As I say, there's very common things like you'd get in most gardens and parks, and things like robins and blue tits and ducks on the water and things like that. The more I discovered about birds and the more that I got interested in finding out what birds are around, and the more I discovered at Roswell Pits that I think I grew up thinking, looking through bird books and thinking that there's all these exotic species that I'm never going to see, and actually I found out that Roswell Pits can provide these things. There's always discoveries to be made and surprising events happening. I remember seeing my first osprey was over Roswell Pits. I wasn't actually bird watching at the time. I was out just sort of enjoying the late summer heat. We were doing a bit of fishing, and I looked up, and there was an osprey just soared over the pits, circled a few times, and then carried on. Things like that. Things like I watched a chiff-chaff build its nest in the sort of low reeds and foliage at the base of a willow tree. I was able to sit in the crown of the willow. It wasn't a very tall thing, but I sat there and watched the chiff-chaff come and line its nest with feathers and bits and pieces like that. There's common birds and there's rare birds, and if you wait long enough, something will happen that will surprise you. I've walked back from the pub late at night and heard nightingales singing as I was walking past it in the middle of the night. That's something I didn't expect. I sort of investigated a bit more and found that there's beautiful things going on without you even realizing. Sometimes there was up to three, I think, pairs of nightingales at one stage. It goes in cycles. There's all sorts of things. It changes throughout the seasons. And early spring, I think, is when I start looking at Roswell Pits in a little bit more detail, and try and go out in the mornings as much as possible and wander around, see what's happening. You get the migrants returning from Africa, like the chiff-chaffs and willow warblers and blackcaps and nightingales. There's a lot of activity around the edges of the water, and over the water you get kingfishers. It can be, in certain years, really good for kingfishers, and they obviously fare better in good weather, and some of the harsh winters we've had have knocked them back a bit. So, but they recover because there's the habitat there. Every now and again you'll hear them sort of piping their little whistling calls, and then you'll see a flash of blue as they skid past you and disappear into the overhanging bushes. They'll build nests in little nooks and crannies, and sometimes even some of the fishing stations where they've built sort of bare sloping muddy banks. I saw one kingfisher try and nest in there at one stage, which was quite interesting. And again, if you wait in a nice quiet little corner you never know what comes around. I've watched kingfishers only sort of 3 or 4 feet away sometimes, as long as you stay hidden and crouch down against the reeds and the trees. It's amazing what comes your way and what you can see. There's things like Chetty's warblers. I never thought that Chetty's warblers would be in my local patch. I've seen pictures of them in my books growing up, and I thought, oh, this is some kind of exotic European species. And the more bird watching I did, the more I discovered actually, well, they've started colonising the country. And even then, I thought, well, you've got to go to some kind of North Norfolk reserve to go and see them. But actually, they come to you, and they're on my doorstep. There's anywhere up to 4 or 5 pairs some years, and you hear the sort of burst of noise coming from the undergrowth, and it's a delight, really. There's all sorts of things going on. Different times of the year. In the winter, obviously, things die back and you get a lot more waterfowl on the areas of water, whether it be Turbotsey Pond or the main sailing pits or the old settling beds and the water meadows. They've each got their own little niches. The bitterns that spend the summer in the settling beds, they'll come across to Roswell Pits, where it's a little bit milder, and when the water freezes, it's often at Roswell where you get areas of open water, and that's where the bitterns come in the winter, because it's a little bit quieter and more out of the elements, and the open water allows them to feed obviously they eat fish and amphibians, things like that. When the settling beds freeze up, they obviously can't feed and they move away just across the river. And you can spend all day looking at a reed bed and not see them, and yet you know for a fact they're only 20 feet away. Perhaps I've spent many a time sort of walking around there and expecting to see them and see nothing, and then completely out of the blue, something will burst up from the reeds when you're not expecting. And I think I appreciate most about Roswell Pits. Every time you think you've got it sussed and you know what's about and it's got nothing to really excite you anymore, you get some surprise of a bittern bursting out of the reeds, or a flock of Arctic terns just suddenly settling down and wheeling around the ponds on their way north. Just things like this. There was one winter a few years ago where great egrets suddenly appeared, and they came into roost on a sort of small little islandy bit with tall trees. I didn't expect that. I know that little egrets have been increasing in numbers over the last 10-15 years, but great egrets are still relatively rare in this country, although they are increasing. And suddenly to have them on your own doorstep was quite an amazing sight. Again, I wasn't looking for them. I just happened to look up and thought, oh blimey, that's a big egret. It's obviously not a little egret, it was a great egret. And I thought perhaps it would just fly over, but now it settled in the trees, and then a few minutes later another one did, and that provided a lot of entertainment for a few weeks in the winter. And we had all sorts of people turn up and arrive at just before dusk, and they stood waiting, and it was like a proper feeding time at the zoo situation, where you get people turning up expecting the show and it happens, and the birds come in, and you're never quite sure which direction they were going to come from, and they just before dark they drop in and settle down into the trees, and then they'd obviously be off the next morning. It's often the case that I go out round Roswell Pits expecting to see something or looking for something, and not necessarily finding that, but discovering something else. I remember walking around one evening in the winter looking for woodcock, which I thought, you know, there's lovely places for woodcocks in the winter. They like little overgrown brambly patches and thick woodland and marshy little covered areas. And I was wandering around to Herbertsey Pond and I thought, well, you know, there's a good chance of woodcock or snipe or something else like that. And I was making my way through a little bramble patch and all of a sudden in front of me there was a long-eared owl sat there, obviously roosting in a big old rose bush. Actually, the thick spiky tendrils of that were everywhere. It was just sat there minding its own business. Obviously, I'd sort of disturbed it a little bit and yeah, it didn't quite enjoy it. But that, again, that's I didn't for the life of me think that was going to be there. It's, you know, it's something you don't see every day. And yet here it was, and I remember again I saw the long-eared owl in the spring over the water meadows. Again, it was hunting close to the bank when I was doing a survey along the bank, looking out for all the migrants. And all of a sudden, it flew past me and landed in one of the willows. And again, you know, that's something which, unless you go out, you don't realise is happening on your back doorstep, which is really nice. There's all sorts of things going on. Lapwings, they're always trying to breed in the water meadows down there. It's a really good migrant wader spot in the spring. They love the little puddly bits and the reed fringed margins and it's amazing what will turn up. Probably not for very long, just in a couple of hours, and usually only in the early hours of the morning. There's obviously a lot of people walking the dogs and things around, so that they often don't stay long. But if you get there early enough, there's good chances of seeing all sorts of things that just stop off for a few hours or a few minutes even, and then they're off again up to the Arctic Circle or. It's the same in autumn that you get a lot of thrushes. They use Roswell pits quite a lot, field fares and redwings, all sorts of other small birds that turn up just in ones and twos, and they're not that numerous, and it doesn't happen every week or every winter even, but something will turn up. I remember once, actually, again, it's another case of sitting waiting for something, looking for some species and finding another one. I was crouched down at the edge of the reeds thinking, oh well, this is the last place I saw a bit and I'm sure it's around here somewhere, and it didn't turn up. But what did turn up was a waxwing, and it flew into one of the trees above me, and that was the first time I'd seen a waxwing at Roswell Pits, and since then I've seen, you know, one or two more in the area, and Ely as a whole actually is, every now and again you'll get a flock of 50, but this one waxwing on a really cold grey evening was an amazing sight. It, because I didn't expect it and I wasn't looking for it, I just happened to notice it. I think I was, you know, you're always pleased when you discover things that are out there, and it's just lovely, isn't it, when things like that happen. One of the great things about sort of getting to know Roswell Pits is being able to introduce it to other people who might not know that much about the area, or they might. There's obviously a lot of people from the Ely area that don't know about Roswell Pits. Even some people who've lived in the area for years don't know that much about it, other than a passing sort of appreciation of what it looks like. But there's all sorts of little things going on that's really nice to be able to show people. When we do bird races, for example, we do a couple a year, one in the spring, one in the autumn or winter, and it's really great to get, you know, 20 or 30 people wandering around the area and just seeing what's about, and it's with that amount of coverage, it's you know you obviously the ability to sort of see what's there in total, and everyone comes back, all the little teams come back, and they all see slightly different things, and we haven't had a day yet where the total number of species that we've all seen has not been more than, you know, individual teams, you know, two or three teams will see 50 or 60 species, and yet we'll end up with a total of 70 or 80 species, which is always really good. And it just, it's I suppose there's an element of education involved in showing people what's there and teaching them about the sort of elements of bird watching, which they might not be that familiar with. But it's just really nice to be able to go out and enjoy what the Roswell Pits have to offer with other people, and sharing that kind of experience is something that's really good. It's the first time I found a bee orchid on the common, that was really nice. That was, again, something completely unexpected. Just walking, I can't remember where I was walking to or from school. I suspect it's probably back from school. And just in the corner of the common, this little bright pink and purple thing. I thought, what's that going on over there? And it was a bee orchid. And you think, well, you know, you read about orchids and you think, well, that's surely they're not that common. And they probably aren't that common. But to have that just suddenly appear out the corner of my eye, that's, again, it's just amazing what springs up and what is there to find. I remember being on Cuckoo Bridge, and I think I can't remember why I was down there, but it was about sort of 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning on some sunny sort of June morning, and I think I must have been doing a survey or something like that, and again, it was just stood there, and I thought, what's going on down in the water? A couple of ducks emerged from the reeds, and I thought, something's obviously disturbed them. And half a second later, this big head of an otter just came up and then disappeared down and was gone again. It's still the only time I've seen an otter at Roswell Pits, but it's almost as if it was just a brief, that was all you need, a little brief glimpse to say, yeah, there are otters about. And it's amazing what's there in front of your eyes without you even really being aware of it a lot of the time. Since then, I've found otter tracks on snow at the edge of the one of the smaller pits. That was quite nice. But it's amazing. You just, there's things going on, and however quiet you are, you're always going to be seen by the nature, and they'll oftentimes try and stay unseen, and I suppose that's one of the things about going bird watching or watching nature in general. It's that sort of victory you get when you see the little bits of nature that oftentimes it's not wanting to be seen. It's a little, I suppose it's that hunter gatherer thing. When it's a successful hunt if you see your prey, that and without it seeing you.